Hey, my name's Caden, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message.
I'm still here. I should do what I'm told more often. Okay, here's the thing. Before we kick into the sermon, my name's Brett Cheek. I'm a pastor here. I teach regularly, and I lead the spiritual formation team. What I'd like you to do is just review kind of your last week, maybe, or how you're coming in today in one of three categories. Kind of put yourself in I am a thumbs up category. This week was thumbs up. Middle of the road or thumbs down. Just kind of place yourself mentally in one of those categories. Okay, where are my thumbs up people? Give me a thumbs up. How are we doing? We are so glad. Awesome. We've got the diamonds over here. We got you guys had a big week. We've got a lot of stuff going on. I'm so glad. Where's my thumbs in the middle, folks? That seems to be the bulk of people, right? Is this the symbol for 2020 or what? You know, how are you doing? where's my thumbs down people? People that are struggling a little bit. Anybody? I'm sure you're here. You just may not feel like this is the right place to stick your hand up in the air and say, I'm doing badly. But we care about you, and we hope that you feel God's presence today. I've had an okay week. You know, there's been ups and downs inside of the week. Let me tell you about this little trivial kind of immature down that I had. So I was on Instagram, which is my favorite social media platform, because people don't argue on Instagram. Have you noticed that? You know, Facebook and Twitter is arguing, and then Instagram's like, I made cookies, you know? And so I'm for that kind of engagement. And I was scrolling through there, and I'm a guitar player, and there's a Instagram channel or account called Gear Talk, and they were talking about this young guy. He's like in his young 30s, his like amazing guitar collection. And so I zipped over to his account and was scrolling through. And with each picture, I grew angrier and angrier because his stuff is awesome, and none of it is mine. Right? And like each guitar, like, oh, you're kidding me. Oh my gosh, did you win the lottery? Like, what is your deal? How did you come across all this? And then it was like the stake in my heart. It was not a guitar. I scrolled over, and it was a 1969 Camaro SS 427 with hockey stripes. I want that man to suffer some horrible accident today. That's my dream car. You know, and it's funny how like seeing what he had made me pity my life. Isn't that funny how we can do that? That we have this, and maybe you're more mature than I am, but we can have this idea in our life of this is what success is, or this is what the good life is, this is what I'm after, this is what would make me happy, this is the things that I want. And if we can't get all of that, then we kind of feel like we're out of whack. And at least part of what's going on in your life and mine is that our culture has told us in all kinds of ways since we were born that we are customers, we are consumers, and we are here to interact with the world in a way where we're trying to find what works for us and what doesn't. And do we want to invest? Do we want to buy in? Do we want to give our time, resource, attention, whatever? And hopefully it will give us the thing that we want. It will work for us. And what happens is, maybe a way to talk about it is walk around with like a rating system, like Amazon rating system, a review system, 1 to 5 stars, you know, how is this product working for me? And it starts with simple things like you know, normal products. This thing has a hair trigger on it. This is our little vacuum. If I had a cat, I could picture myself trying to scare the cat with this, you know. Anyway. We use it to suck Cheerios up out of the couch and that kind of thing from time to time. But somewhere in my mind, I have a review of this thing. How helpful is this to me? How well does it work? Versus how much did it cost and all of that. And you know, maybe I'd give this thing 3 stars. It's not amazing, but it's fine. And we kind of have a review in our mind of everything that we have, whether it's our lawnmower or the grass seed that we bought. The grass seed that I didn't put out on my lawn, I bought and didn't put out. Anybody else do that? Yeah. And or whether it's our house or our car, And then what happens is because we're interacting with the world as customers, we don't just have like this review system, 1 to 5 stars, of the stuff that we own and how it works for us. We also tend to bring that same way of thinking about things into our relationships and the people that we know. We can have like in our mind, like a review, 1 to 5 stars of our families or our friends or the people that we work with or who we're dating or whatever, you know, and maybe we think, you know, like my family, we are a solid 3.5-star family. Yeah, you know, this is in the hypothetical here, you know, and you're like, but my kids complimented me on my cooking last night. So that bumps them up to 4. You know, things are working for me. Okay. And they actually like emptied the dishwasher, you know, so we're solid 4-star family today. But you know, the next day they give you a little bit of attitude and you kind of bump them back down to 3 stars. And the question is my family's review in my mind, is it high enough for me to feel like this is working for me? And if it's not working for me, then I've got a question. Why am I here? Like, what is going on? Like, you guys have got to stay above 3 stars at least for me to want to like engage. And we can do that with the people that we work for, or the people that work for us, or the people we work with. We can do this with our neighbors and our sister-in-law and whatever. You know, we can have this sense of like, I'd give you this review right now. And it's all based on how well is this working for me? Are you working for me? And then here's the thing. We can tend to not just carry that view of the good life, of I could just get 5-star stuff and 5-star people around me, then I would be happy, you know, then I would be succeeding or whatever. We can even bring that into our relationship with God. Now, I scrounged the church for Jesus props, and this is what I found. Do you guys know what this is? Hold on. This is 1970s multimedia in the church. Anybody remember one of these? Yes, this is a flannel board or a felt board or something like that. I don't know why there are pyramids. There is no pyramids in Israel. We'll just, hold on. Pull those. Okay. And Jesus, how many stars do you give Jesus as God? You know, and we might think, you know, he's all right. I mean, like, he says a lot of stuff that I like. He cares about the poor. He seems very kind. So that's kind of bumping up, you know, his stars. I did not get the promotion that I wanted, though, and I prayed hard. So I can't give him 5 stars. Jesus isn't working for me that well, but he's okay, you know. Jesus seems a little outdated. Maybe some of his thoughts seem a little archaic, and so I'm gonna dock him for that. But Jesus makes me feel better about my life. You know, he makes me feel more moral, and I get to feel kind of vaguely spiritual and religious at least. So I'll give him some credit there. And maybe we're walking around with some rating system in our mind for God himself. And if God isn't working well for us, then we're going to disengage because he's a product that we're here to purchase. We're here to use so that we can benefit, you know, and just it's worth saying that I found there's a couple of Jesuses. Jesus, is that the plural of Jesus? I don't, you know, like here's one. He's got a pop of color here, you know, if you're kind of into that thing. I also found a fall colored Jesus. You know, he needs a little pumpkin spice latte. And I found cool blue Jesus, you know, for when you need. And then here's the one that perplexes me the most. This is Jesus on a cloud. I don't know why Jesus is on a cloud. Where are his legs? And he has his hand extended to slap someone. I think that's what. Anyway, okay. I'm putting this away now. And here's the thing. When we engage with the world as if it's full of products for us to consume, we're following a philosophy, whether we know it or not, that philosophers call hedonism. Hedonism means if I can just get the things that make me happy, that is the good life. And if I can get enough stuff, enough people to make me happy, that'll be the good life. Philosophers also have what is called the hedonic treadmill. You don't need to know that. Basically, what that is saying is that this system of life doesn't get you anywhere, that it just spins you in circles, because what happens is you see something, you want something, you buy it or you use it or you put it in your brain or your body or you invest in it in some way or you give that person time, you purchase it in some way, and then you're happy. It gives you a bump. You can track this in terms of psychology. It makes someone happier for a little bit. And then they normalize and we get used to the new car or the new person we're dating, or you know, that doesn't get us as high as it used to or as drunk as it used to, or we have more money, but then we adjust our lifestyle and we spend more money now, and it all normalizes, and then we're right back to the same level of happiness that we were. And what we notice is that getting the stuff that we want doesn't actually make us happier. It just gives us a little bump for a little while. And then we see something else, we want something else, we buy something else. It makes us a little happy, and then we normalize and adapt, and we go around and around and around. And if you run this long enough and hard enough, you end up like this. You either burn out, or you get disillusioned, or you fall off, or one of those things comes back to bite you because you've invested a little too much into whatever that thing is that you were trying to make you a little happier. And here's the good news. God has something better for you than a treadmill of trying to view him and the people around you and the world around you as products to consume, and hoping that if I can get enough five-star people, stuff, and God himself around me, that I will finally succeed and have the good life. And maybe an extreme example for sure, but I want to take a look at God's engagement with a famous person, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And this is a passage that is often used at Christmas for obvious reasons. An angel has come to this young girl, 13 years old, 14 years old, somewhere in that zone, and has given her some tough news because she is engaged, which is a legally binding arrangement in their society, not married yet. And he said, you are going to be pregnant with the Messiah. I have something that I'm doing in the world. I want you to be a part of it. And you are going to give birth to God himself in the flesh. And in verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Listen to Mary's response. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. God shows up to Mary, and I think to you and to me, saying, I want you to be a part of my repairing the world. I want you to be a part of what I am doing to set creation right, to heal the people around you, to heal your community, to heal the world. I want you to be a part of my work in the world. And here's the thing, you were created to be a part of what God is doing in the world. And it is better than getting what we want. If I could make a list of all the stuff that I want from the people around me and all the things in the world and from God himself, being a part of God's work in the world is better for my soul, will make me happier and will bring me more joy than getting all of the five-star stuff and people that there are. And Mary's response is, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. We've been in this series called Dangerous Prayers. And ours today is, use me, God. Use me. Use me, God. Use me. Mary responds, she says, yes, Lord, use me. Use me, Lord. Use me. In fact, in Greek, there's a word that doesn't, some translations, it's more direct. She uses this word, idu, which means look or behold. It's a word with an exclamation point in it. And some translations say, behold, I am the Lord's servant. When the angel shows up and says this to her, she says, let's do this. I'm in. Now that is interesting because when she says, use me, Lord, use me, what God has for her is going to be hard. And often, not all the time for sure, But when we say, use me, God, that grinds against how we have been shaped and discipled by our culture to interact with everything, because everything is supposed to make our life easier. Easier. And God often invites us into things that is going to make our life harder. In Scripture, we learn that Joseph, and understandably so, considers divorcing her. She is willing to risk losing her marriage over saying yes. Her future husband, she is willing to put that on the line so that she can say yes to the Lord. She will be talked about every day of her life behind her back by some people because she is going to be pregnant and give birth before she's married. And in their culture, that was a big deal. Every day of her life, there's going to be people that whisper behind her back that she's that kind of woman. And her son that she's going to carry and give birth to, he is going to be talked about as a bastard child every day of his life by somebody. And he's going to grow up to be a rabbi, a religious leader, and you don't think that'll follow him around? This is going to be hard. And not to mention, before the empty tomb, one day she's going to take that son, help take him off a cross and wrap him in burial clothes and put him in a tomb and weep over him. When she says, use me, Lord, use me, she is signing up for heartache. But she is signing up to be a part of God restoring all things. I doubt that what God would call you or I to will be that hard. But it might be more uncomfortable than we're used to. I guarantee it at some point. Also, one of the things that grates against us when we say, use me, Lord, use me, that challenges our consumerism in the world is that God doesn't need you. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me to do his work. He doesn't need us. He wants us. He wants us. Now, that may ding my pride a little bit. He doesn't need me. He wants me. He wants me to work with him as he goes about his work because he wants me to be like him. And to be like him, I'm going to be with him and he's going to show me how he is moving in the world and call me to participate and call you to participate because he loves you. So we aren't the hero of the story, he is. You know, there's a way of doing spirituality and doing even sacrificial things in the world of church and religion. That we're doing sacrificial things and we're being used by God, but it can actually be just covering up our drivenness and our desire to achieve and make ourselves feel better and earn a name for ourselves. There can be this way of doing good things so that we will think better of ourselves and other people will think better of us. Has anybody ever noticed that happening? No? Someone give me something. Yeah. Yes, okay. I've noticed it in myself, especially like when I was in college and seminary. I spent a lot of time pouring into young guys, middle school, high school, kind of student ministry sort of stuff, and God was working there. But at least part of what was going on in my own heart is that they made me feel important. You know, you're by default cool when you're in that age range to middle school and high school students. You know, you have a car, you're not their parent. Both are pluses, right? You will take them to a movie. God was working. But some of that, at least, was they made me feel important and fun and cool. And I didn't notice that was going on, but there was part of that was about me being the hero. And when we say, use me, God, use me, it helps. Like last week, we said ahead of time to pray, break me, God, break me. So that we get as much of our pride worked out of us in the process as we can. And when we do that, what happens is we can give God our whatever. Like our whatever you want, Jesus, whatever you would call me to, I'm up for it. Whatever you want. You know, and that God can use and it'll be fun and full of joy and there's gonna be excitement and the hard stuff all mixed in. It can look like being known or being hidden when we say yes to the Lord. It can look like having influence or giving influence up. You know, it can look like going or like staying. It can look like speaking up or being silent. When we say, use me, God, use me, it might look like any of that or more than that. When we give God our whatever, we can be with him in new ways as we work with him to restore the world just because he wants us to. One of the people that has been a model for that to me in my life is Sherry Maynor. And when we plan our sermons months out, I don't know if y'all know that, and she was already on my mind, and she passed away Wednesday. And I asked her husband if I could share this story, something that, an interaction with her and my wife, and I'm gonna let Christina tell you the story.
So about a month and a half ago, we, received news that a dear friend of ours, got a diagnosis that is fatal. And so when that happens, naturally you start thinking about your relationship with that person. And I was going back just thinking about all the times that she had, been there for me. And one that stood out recently was I was sitting at work and I was very emotionally drained. And I knew when I went in that day, I just had that feeling of like, I have got to ask someone to pray for me. Like, and that's hard for me to do. It's hard for me to ask for help. It's hard for me sometimes to be vulnerable and tell somebody, hey, I'm not doing okay. And someone came to the door and it was my friend Sherry. And she was standing there and she was like, I don't know why I'm here. And I was like, I do. And for her going out of her way that day and listening to what God was telling her to do was to stop by somewhere and not really knowing why, but there was someone on the other end knowing exactly why she showed up and walked through that door. It is a little hard when someone thinks about someone like her, they think, oh, that's somebody who's really connected to the Lord, and maybe you feel like I'm not at that place, like I'm not there yet. I haven't passed some like test or something. And I always think about the woman at the well, like the most unlikely person, the person that nobody would trust, the person that nobody would believe. But what she had was an encounter with Jesus. And so when Jesus asked her to do the next thing, which was to go and tell people who he was, she did that out of obedience. And I love that later on when the people who, the many Samaritans who come to believe Jesus, that they say, we not only believe just because of what you did, we now believe because we know who Jesus is ourselves. And so I think that we can sometimes think that we have to be this kind of person to be able for God to use us in big, small and big ways. And that is not what God is doing in the world. He is using anybody who has a heart of surrender. He's using anybody who's encountered him and knows that he is the living God. And our job is to be that first step and to say, I start to see God in you, and then the Spirit does the rest, that now I know Jesus because I've seen him myself.
Isn't that great? What I love about that, I mean, we can talk about huge things like what the angel said to Mary, but that day it was God saying to Sherry, hey, why don't you head across town? You don't even know if anybody's at that building. Why don't you just knock on the door? And she gave God her whatever. Whatever, Lord. Okay, whatever you want. Use me, God, use me. That just requires a little bit of space and some willingness to trust and say, use me, God, use me. What do you want today? What do you want today? And we don't know who's on the other side of that and how that's going to impact their life. But God is building the world back one piece at a time through people who are saying, use me, God, use me. Paul, one of the first Christians, is writing to a church in a town called Philippi. And he says this in starting in verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. What he's saying is part of us being in the world is that God has labor. He has work for us to do, and he is going to use it to bear fruit in the world. So let's get to work, people. He has fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. That this is the opposite of consumerism. This is God has put me here for your joy and your faith. And when someone says, use me, God, use me, you get to be a part of someone else's joy and faith being built up, laboring and bearing fruit in the world. And that is better than getting the job that we want, the family that we want, the house that we want, the car that we want, the retirement that we want, the golf course membership that we want, whatever. That is better. And we have more joy because we said, use me, God, use me. I don't need a rating system to judge you or the stuff around me or the people. I want to figure out how I can be a part of their healing, joy, and faith being built up in the world. You know, success or getting what we want or the good life or whatever could maybe be summed up in a couple of ways. One, we could call success being formed by God. That we would make space in ourselves to be formed by God. Behold, the servant of the Lord. God, use me, God, use me. And lastly, that we would do what God calls us to do. That we would do what God would have us do. That means that we make space and we listen and we say, God, send me out, use me. God, use me, whatever you would have me do, may it be to me as the Lord has said. When Mary says that, this is her response to all of it. This is what it's going to look like for her. And I want you to capture the energy here. This is Mary's song in verse 46. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. The great thing that he has done for her is he has invited her into his work in the world. That is the great thing. That he said, why don't you join me in what I'm doing in the Lord? And this is what it's going to look like. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. When we say, use me, God, use me. Use me, God, use me. We can be a part of him extending mercy to people. We can be a part of him pulling down the rulers of the world and lifting up the humble. We can be a part of him sending the rich away empty, but filling the hungry with good things. We can be a part of him building the kingdom of God. We just need to make space to say, I'm not going to make this about me and what I get. I'm going to make this about being formed by God and doing what he would have me do. And that's where all the joy is anyway. Search me, God. Search me. Break me, God. Break me. Use me, God. Use me. All of that is so against what the world would have us assume life is about. Search me. Break me. Use me. But that's where all of the life is. That's where all of the life is. Let's pray. Jesus, we want that to be true of us. And we've bought enough stuff and we have tried to make people work for us enough. At least I'm praying this is true for us. That we would be ready to say, use us, God, use us. Lord, we have tried to judge you based on how well you work out for us, whatever that even means. God, help us to put all of that down so that we can say, search us, break us, use us because you are better than we are. And you love us with a furious longing. And you want us to work with you in the world that you are healing and restoring. Lord, would you come, and we pray that we would be a people that point to you, not to ourselves, not to any other group, but to you. So thank you, Jesus, that you are that good, that you would invite us into that kind of relationship with you. Thank you, God. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, make sure to like and subscribe. Feel free to share this with others that God has put on your heart. And to learn more about LaCroix Church or to find your next steps, head to lacroixchurch.org. Thanks again for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.